So here's the thing with homemade meals. Eating them is great, but all the chopping and measuring and cleanup, not so much. With new one-pan assemble and bake meals from Blue Apron, you get all the flavor of homemade meals with a fraction of the work. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients, bake in the oven, and enjoy. Shop Assemble and Bake at BlueApron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit BlueApron.com/terms for more. The
Score! This hour is brought to you by Cars for Kids.
Adam Hogue says...
Adam Hogue, Bears Insider.
What's up, everyone? My name's Adam Hogue. This is the CHGO Bears Podcast.
Host of the Hogue and Johns Podcast.
I've said this a few times. Ben Johnson does not seem like a first-time head coach. It's just like that's not the vibes that we've had with this coaching staff coming in.
Adam Hogue.
Adam Hoagie or Hogue, excuse me. I don't know how to pronounce the last name.
On 670 The Score.
Appropriate music for today, if I would ever say so. This is Raheemi Harrison Grody on a Plumbers 911 Football Friday. Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, and Electric Football Friday. Presented by Pottawatomie Casino Hotel and Chicago Roofing Contractors.org. Adam Hogue is of the Hogue and Johns podcast. He also is part of CHGO's Bears coverage, and he joins us on the Circus Sports Illinois hotline. Download the Circus Sports app today. Hey, Adam.
Hey, guys, we made it. The playoffs. It's happening.
Yeah.
It's tomorrow.
What was that?
So we
what
have,
was that?
I don't know.
Varied
I'm
opinions
to...
about the playoffs, I guess.
I'm worried, Adam. I'm not going to lie. I'm concerned.
That's right. Fine, but don't waste the moment to be excited.
You're right. You're right, Adam. I just got through telling people this, but I'm on this seesaw right now of despair and excitement. And it's just... We're coming up on it. It's about to be real. It's like the season could be over tomorrow night, or the Bears could be getting ready for a second straight playoff game at Soldier Field. Those are extremes. Right,
look, none of us except for Grody actually have an impact on this game. Like, you know, he'll have some type of impact. I don't exactly know what it is, but the rest of us just enjoy the ride, and then when it's over, then you can be happy or sad, but just like enjoy it. That's all I could say right now. The Bears don't make the playoffs usually, and while we're all excited about the future, there's no guarantee, you know, next season, and so this is a big one. You got to take advantage of it.
Hold on a second. So is that? Pardon me. I have not. I do listen to you guys, but I have not caught you this week because we're all kind of buried in our own worlds here.
Fair.
Is that the theme on the CHGO shows? Like, are you guys just like? Is it? Nobody's nervous. You guys are like, let's just go. Let's appreciate. If you are, I commend that because you got nervous people in this studio right here, Hog.
Hog. I don't know. We've been a little over the map. I got to say, you know, this is not a shock, but the most emotional of all the people on our show is Greg Braggs Jr.
Of course.
Who is the mayor of Bearstown.
Yes, yes.
He does a really like weird, impressive psychological mind twist to like psych himself up in the moments where he should be a mess. He just like kind of talks himself into... No, everything's going to be fine. I'm confident. Like, until he's not, does that make sense? Like, I guess it's healthy. But then there's the other weeks where he just doesn't sleep for seven straight days, and you could tell. So I don't know.
Yeah, that sounds about right for Greg. I think he gives it his fair... He tries. And I think that's the most important thing.
Shout out to Braggs.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. But I think getting back into this game, Adam, I had said this before to Mason Crosby. I've said it in our pre-show meetings. This is a game where I feel like both Packers fans and Bears fans could be talking about each other's teams. Like there's a level of a lack of confidence and then understanding what your team brings. And you know, I was watching a lot of the comments about how Rashawn Gary hadn't had a sack since week 9. And I was like, hey, I would like to have Rashawn Gary on my team, you know? So I feel like there's a lot of similar concerns when it comes to fan bases and their teams for this game.
No question. I mean, and that's because these teams are actually very similar, right? I think both teams trust their offensive ability coming in this game, and both teams are very nervous about their defense. And both of these defenses are slumping. Let's be completely honest about it. They're not. We could see a lot of fireworks. I think both teams are going to be worried about ball control and not letting the other team have it because of what could happen and maybe some of the lack of trust they have in their defense. If I had to rank these four units, you know, just talking offense and defense, You know, I would put the Packers offense number one. They've been more consistent than the Bears offense, but the Bears offense would be number two, and they can be just as explosive at any given time, mm-hmm. which is sometimes the frustration with the Bears offense, right? They have a lot of explosive plays, but they're just not quite as consistent. I would put the Bears defense, though, third ahead of where this Packers defense is, and that's kind of crazy to say. I don't know. I would have thought that, you know, 2 months ago, but the reality is since Micah Parsons got hurt, they do not get to the quarterback. They do not get pressure, and both teams struggle to stop the run. But I think especially when you look at what the Ravens did running all over the Packers a couple weeks ago, that gives you hope if you're the Bears trying to run the ball. And the reality is, like, the Bears have still had these moments where they kept the Packers to 0-5 in the red zone a couple weeks ago. They held the Lions to 19 points last week, despite the loss. So they still take the ball away, which the Packers don't do that at the same clip. So I'm gonna put the Bears defense over the Packers defense, and then, you know, this will be fully on brand for me though. But when you think about all that, maybe this game comes down to special teams, and I would probably put the Bears special teams unit ahead of the Packers special teams unit, because the Packers are just more susceptible to these disaster plays that happen sometimes on that side of the ball. And Rich Bisaccia is under heat there, certainly more heat than Richard Hightower is here in Chicago. So that's kind of how I view it with all the units on the field. And I think if you add it all up, you can make a strong argument that especially at home, it actually tilts to the Bears' favor a little bit.
I like that you walked me through that in that specific way, because I mostly agree with you. I think the Bears turnover thing is a thing, but it's not a thing against teams that are actually good, because you can see where the stark majority of their turnovers came, and it wasn't against teams like the Packers. It was teams that had losing records or just frankly aren't in the playoffs. I want to ask you this, Adam. Looking at the Caleb Williams thing, I know we've been talking about this to death, but there's a reason we keep talking about it. How confident are you that they will get off to a better start in this game based on what you've heard from the players, the coaches, and the way things went last week?
It would have to be like a blind confidence, you know, to be honest. I'm putting it that way because I don't really see any reason why it can't happen. That's what's frustrating, right? Like, they seem to be shooting themselves in the foot more times than not in these opening drives. And I don't really understand it. And I'm hoping that, you know, in a week where, you know, if you've been up to Hal's Hall, I think you could feel the level of focus. I think you can feel the level of intensity at the Ben Johnson's message right after the game against the Lions. And I think the players have all been on board. If they are that focused and dialed in, then they should be when the game starts. I think it helps having been through this twice already this season. When I say this, I mean Bears Packers. Like, I think they were like way too hyped up the first time. The second time there was still a little bit of that. Hopefully now with that experience behind you, you can just come out, whatever the hype is, whatever the crowd's like, use that to your advantage, channel to your advantage, and really be dialed in. I think that's where guys like Joe Tooney really come in and help in this moment. The amount of mental errors that happened against the Lions on Sunday were very alarming, but I don't know. I guess I'd be a little bit surprised if they carry over into this game, because that level of focus should be there. And if it is, I don't see any reason why against this defense, this Packers defense, you can't just come out and have a couple really nice runs to start the game and a third down completion. Also, you know, Adam Johns made a really good point that we've been focused so much on Roma Dunze coming back and him not being in the last Packer game. We kind of forget Luther Burden wasn't out there for that game.
Yeah.
And he's been awesome recently. Like, he's a huge part of this offense all of a sudden. And Loveland's coming on. So I don't know. You add it all up, and I don't really have a good reason why they can't put together a really good drive to start the game. And that's really what this – if the Bears can come out, and I wonder if they actually take the ball first, if they win the coin toss – and maybe that'll depend on what the wind situation looks like, because it wouldn't hurt to have the wind in the second half of the game. But you come out and you take the ball and you go on an 8-9 minute drive that scores a touchdown, like, that would really put you in a really good position to win the football game.
No doubt, especially since time of possession has been a big deal in both of these games, which the Packers have wanted. It's something that has been uttered by the coaches. It's been uttered in the locker room as well. So I think you're right. And I think the Bears fans have been waiting for the Bears to really get the offense together right from the start. They were really good at that early in the season. They've obviously tailed off in terms of actually scoring touchdowns on that first drive. Let's go back to Let's go back to the Packers offense though against the Bears defense. And you are right. Like the Bears will scare the hell out of you, but they were forcing field goals for sure against Detroit. What can they do, Adam, if anything, differently, especially in the secondary, especially against Jordan Love, considering what he did to dissect the Bears defense in the first game? And we know that the Bears secondary has been dissected in each of the last 2 weeks against Detroit and San Francisco. Is there anything discernible that, from your eyes, Adam, that the Bears can do differently on defense to not have to depend on the red zone defense right at the end?
So let's go through this at levels from up front all the way to the back to the secondary. So let's start with the D-line. So with the defensive line, I would say this is just, it sounds simple, but just man up and win your one-on-ones more. Like, you just have to. Like, I don't think there's much schematically that is going to change. You get one-on-ones, and it's going to be tough. Like, Zach Tom's coming back in this game for the Packers. They didn't really exactly get a lot of pressure when he didn't play in the last meeting. But you know what? You're Montez Sweat. You're making the money you are. You're Austin Booker. You've had this opportunity. I think he's actually been a little bit better recently. Just when you get those one-on-one opportunities, you got to win them, okay? Go to the linebackers. You know, the linebackers, I think, probably given Truth Serum, and I think Tremaine Edmonds kind of hinted at this a little bit in the locker room, they're not 100%, but I also think they missed some opportunities. When TJ Edwards comes through that gap late in the game last week and just doesn't really commit to it, you got to commit to it. Like, you just got to, you got to go 100 miles an hour through that gap. You made your decision, commit to it, make the stop. Don't be hesitant. Like, and Lance Briggs has been talking about this with us on CHGO for weeks now. They don't look the same. They're not committing. They're not coming downhill and shooting those gaps the same way they were earlier in the season. So that's what I would do from the linebacker standpoint. Now, you ask about the secondary. This is the area where I really think it comes down more to coaching, because I think the Bears injury situation and the lack of speed they have back there right now just is what it is. Jalen Johnson very honestly said the other day, I'm not going to be 100% till next season. I need an offseason to recover. You know, Kyler Gordon, whatever he ends up being in this game, it is what it is. Even before C.J. Gardner-Johnson got hurt, we know he's not going to play, but I think the book was kind of out on him when you're really watching that film too. So it is what it is. How does Dennis Allen deploy it though? Because he played a little bit more man, was a little bit more aggressive in the first meeting. They got beat. The second time, they sat back, but they gave up a ton of time of possession by letting the Packers sort of matriculate down the field slowly, and then they stopped them in the red zone. I think it's got to be a blend of that. I think it's got to be of how does this look differently with Kyler Gordon in the picture? Tyreek Stevenson, who didn't play last week, do you mix him in? Do you play more dime? What do those dime packages look like without C.J. Gardner-Johnson out there? There are wrinkles here that, even though they're playing for the third time, could look differently to Jordan Love, could be presented differently, could cause some confusion. But that's on the coaching staff to come up with that plan. And ultimately, if you can cause that confusion, get your hands on some footballs, that's where those takeaways can come in. And if they can get to two takeaways in this football game, I think there's a really good chance they win.
Two things, Adam, as we talk to Adam Hogue, the host of the CHGO Bears coverage and the Hogue and Johns podcast. Adam, I think number one, you can't use Kyler Gordon like you want to because he's been so successful, for example, off of that corner blitz. I don't know that he necessarily has the speed and the timing combined after being gone for so long to run in like he usually would want to. And then the other thing is about you talking about different looks and different wrinkles and how that would show for the Packers. There's never been a better time for Ben Johnson's ethos of make the same things look different and different things look the same than probably tomorrow.
Yeah. Real quick on Kyler. The one thing I will say about Kyler is when he has been out there, and it just hasn't been enough, right? But when he has been out there, unlike some of the other players dealing with injuries, I think he has mostly looked like himself. So he might still have that speed. He might still have that twitch. He might still be able to be used on a blitz and time it up and make a huge impact. To me, he's in a little bit of a different standpoint of just, does he re-aggravate it? It seems like a ticking time bomb. Could it happen in warmups? Could it happen in the middle of the game? Maybe it doesn't happen at all, and he's on an incredible play. It's just, you just don't know. But I think if he is out there, he does give you a little bit more speed and ability than maybe some of these other guys that we know are just kind of, they're out there, they're going to be out there, but they're not 100%. So I do think that that's important. In terms of Ben Johnson, this gets us back to the offensive side, which is, you know, some of the inconsistencies here that they've had. But
this is the year of Ben Johnson. This has been Ben Johnson's season, the impact he's had, everybody trusts in him. So yes, to your point, Layla, what does he have up his sleeve? What has he been, all these plays that he's been running and all these different looks and all these different personnels, you know, he's going to make things look different as much as he can, but still be the same type of dagger concepts that have worked, or you know whatever it is, he's gonna have a really good plan. You trust that coaching side of it. It really comes down to the execution.
Adam, you talk about the coaching side of it. That's one thing that I'm so interested in seeing how this unfolds, because Matt LaFleur has obviously been doing this a lot longer. He's had more success playoff wise because Ben Johnson simply has not been here before. How much should we be monitoring how he handles things? I just keep going back in my head to him, you know, saying out loud and caught by the cameras, should have gone for it. Like, what type of attitude do we think he'll have, knowing what he thinks about his defense, because he's putting so much of the onus on the offense?
Well, that's a great point, because we, as much as everybody believes in Ben Johnson, this is the first time he's going to be in a playoff game as head coach. Now, he's been in some pretty big games the last few years as an offensive coordinator. Some good, a couple of them really bad, melting down in the NFC Championship game, losing to the Commanders last year. So there are some experiences he can draw on. But now he's in charge. Now he's got to make those decisions. He's got to make that fourth down call to go for it or not, and maybe have those regrets. Does he overcompensate for maybe how he felt last week in that same moment in a game that we maybe wasn't the biggest game of all time, but we know mattered a lot to him against his former team? And I don't have the answer to that. I think it's fair to bring up and point out, because for whatever Matt LaFleur's deficiencies have been, and he's on under the gun right now and under the hot seat for his lack of success in the playoffs, which is also something to talk about, he has been in these games more as the head coach and been, you know, in these heated situations and has more experience to draw into this matchup from the head coaching perspective, even if the results haven't been great. So I don't know. I don't know how it's going to play out, but I think with us feeling good about Ben Johnson, you got to side towards he's going to have a plan. He's going to make some good decisions. But are we talking about on post-game shows and on Monday morning about some big decision that went the wrong way? It's certainly on the table. It's the playoffs.
Absolutely. Adam, thanks as always for joining us. This has been fun.
Absolutely, guys. It's been fun all season, and hopefully we have another game next week to talk about.
Amen.
Thanks so much,
Happy
Adam.
Happy playoffs.
Thanks,
that's Adam Hogue of CHGO, the Hogue and Johns podcast, as well, joining us via Twitch and our Circa Resort and Casino hotline, CircaLasVegas.com. Join the Score in Circa Sports Illinois today at Real Time Sports in Elk Grove Village. It's been a minute, and it's always a fun show when we're out there. Spiegel and Holmes are live from 2 to 6 p.m. for playoff football talk as Chicago prepares for another rematch against Green Bay. Plus, you can win Chicago sports tickets from Circa Sports Illinois. That's today from 2 to 6 p.m. at Real Time Sports in Elk Grove Village. It is all brought to you by Circa Sports Illinois. Sports betting the way it should be. Coming up next, we all had a discussion in our pre-show meeting about what we wanted to see out of the Bears, and then that's when I realized it's quite indeed keys to the game. What's your key to the game? What do you want to see from the Bears? What do they need to do in this playoff game? We'll discuss it next.
Tonight's meal, tilapia surprise with boiled cabbage. Begin cooking steps 1 through 50 now.
Are you kidding me? Making dinner shouldn't feel like doing a 1,000-piece puzzle. With Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals, the hard part's already done. Pre-chopped ingredients, zero stress. Just assemble, bake, and enjoy. No complicated steps, no mountain of dishes. Try assemble and bake today. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Raheemy Harrison Grody, middays 10 till 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
I was kind of surprised to see how few times that's happened in the postseason, so I think it's pretty cool. And I've been saying since I got here, the vision has always been let's have home playoff games at Soldier, and I'm proud of our guys being able to bring that vision to life this year, and hopefully we can come out and make our fans proud here this weekend.
This is Raheemy Harrison Grody on 670 The Score, and that was Ben Johnson talking about the third meeting between the Bears and Packers this season, which is a rarity that it happens in the playoffs, as you just heard Ben Johnson say. And we wanted to do a segment here called Keys to the Game.
Whoa.
Yeah, you've never heard of it. No other show ever does it.
That is good.
Yeah, we've never had keys to the game before ever. This is the first time anybody's ever thought of it. But it really is the case where I feel like we all have different keys and what we want to see. So for me, it is be more successful running the football early and therefore use those run plays to drive down the field and score a touchdown. Not, you don't have to do it in your first drive. Maybe the first two.
So score on one of the first two drives of the game?
And run the ball more.
Run the ball more.
Yeah, I think if we see a first quarter score out of the Bears, that would indicate a positive result for the team.
Something's going right as opposed to anxiously waiting for three quarters as I did in the cold south end zone a few weeks ago.
But I need to be picky about it, and I needed to run the football to do it, so establish that run game first.
Yeah, I mean, I understand why that's like a key for you, because when they were playing their best football this season, and I think people need to understand, the Eagles game was a long time ago, relatively speaking, but we all keep going back to that game. If they just play like they did against the Eagles, it's not like they just kept doing that every week since they played the Eagles. So I completely understand why that's your key to the game. That makes a lot of sense. Grody, what do you think about just that idea that the first couple of drives, you got to have something and you got to show you're running the ball successfully?
Here's what I've been thinking. I was thinking about this when I was driving in today. And that is, yes, of course, you want to, and I said this on the podcast last night too, take the North, that the first team to establish the run game and really get the run game going might win the game. Here, I'm going to get really specific, though.
Okay.
Because of the Bears' troubles early in games on third, on just getting it going, how about Caleb Williams? And this is not like what you want ultimately Caleb to be coached to do. How about really tell Caleb, when you see that opening downfield and you got room to run, you go ahead and run the football. You go when it's third and six, like you see that, like this is the playoffs now, man. You can just kind of abandon. You do what you have to do, guys. I'd like to see Caleb Williams run the ball more in this game, feeling able to do it. Do what you got to do. Take advantage of that, even if that's not part of your plan for Caleb Williams in the future. Caleb, go ahead and run it.
Can I ask something here? Number one, I think it's okay to repeat what you said on the Take the North podcast because they're different audiences.
Fair enough.
Number two, I feel like the Bears have been trying to prevent that from happening for whatever reason.
Caleb running it?
Yes.
And which is understandable.
In fact, Chris Sims talked about it yesterday.
Oh?
Because he was talking about the deliberate pocket presence that seems to have been having been established in the last several weeks. And probably you can go back definitively to that first Packers game and kind of see that taking place. What were your takeaways from that, Marshall, when you heard Chris Sims talk about that? Because I feel like that is something we've seen have success. There's no doubt about it. But I think for whatever reason, this may be the teaching level of the offense here coming into play. That seems to not be an option as much for this team right now.
But I think there was a method to that madness, because I think what you just said about teaching is part of it. Because Ben Johnson trying to get Caleb to do what? Master things pre-snap, right? And we see how far he's come from training camp. I know you remember training camp and how bad it looked, the offense.
Yes,
because
sir.
A lot of it was Caleb Williams not having command of things, whether it was his cadence, whether it was his pre-snap approach, officially getting his team to the line of scrimmage to be able to break things down. I'll say this. He wants him to play in structure. He wants him to be timing-based, because good offenses, guess what? They're timing-based. You look at Jared Goff last year, even this year, just Jared Goff under Ben Johnson, post-Ben Johnson's introduction of his offense into his life. He's been so much better, so much more snappy, if you will. For Caleb Williams, the first key to this was, hey, can you come to meet me where I am? That was what he was talking about, in my opinion. And he's done it well. And that has been, okay, now we're going to bootleg you a little bit. We'll get you out in running situations where you can make decisions. But still, the main thing is play within the structure. I think once the playoffs get here, all bets are off.
That's
You have to use your legs. I guarantee you, when the Bills, right, and Josh Allen are in do or die, as they will be from here on forward, he's going to be taking off a lot.
Amen.
Here's a stat I want to give you, which kind of speaks to what both of you are talking about right now. Jalen Hurts is 37-9 in his career when he runs the ball nine times or more. 4-1 in the playoffs, with the only loss being Super Bowl 57. There's only one playoff game in Hurts' career where he didn't have at least six carries, and that was their 2023 blowout loss at Tampa Bay. I don't know if you remember that game. So what I'm saying is you have to make sure all of your quarterback's weapons are available to him in a do-or-die situation, in a win-or-go-home situation. So I do expect Caleb to take off when the opportunity presents itself.
We all want him to be a pocket quarterback. Caleb wants to be a pocket quarterback. But he's one of the fastest quarterbacks in the league, and it is and that will continue. The process of developing Caleb Williams will continue, and he's going to get better and all of that stuff. But for this game, you see that opening where you can run 25 to 30 yards. Take it.
The other part of it, too, is with Micah Parsons out, Rashawn Gary doesn't free up as easily. For example, I just mentioned the stat with Adam Hogue where Gary hadn't had a sack since week 9. So when you consider that piece of it, can you do more of what you've done previously against other teams where you can use the extra tight ends to block more? Can you have downfield blocking then free up lanes for Caleb Williams if he needs to run?
Yes.
The better question may be, what does Jeff Heffley want to do? Does he want to give Caleb the 10-yard running lane if it means not giving up the big pass play like we saw, for example, to DJ Moore? Yeah, that becomes, I think, a question of what the defensive coordinator on the other side wants to give up or what he wants to allow versus what he thinks the team might do. And frankly, once again, the symmetry reigns because Dennis Allen has the same choices he has to make on the defensive side. If you blitz, you know that Jordan Love will check it down pretty quickly. You know that he's been able to pick it up and he's been able to pick up underneath. And unfortunately, they blitzed to a fault in the last two games. So how are you going to use that to your advantage? Are you going to just decide that maybe you're going to have to go with four down linemen? Are you going to have to use different looks? Does Kyler Gordon come in a way that is authentic to what we know him to be? Ho gave a very uplifting note from practice saying that he looks more like himself than any of the other guys who are back. So once again, what is each defensive coordinator going to have to give up and allow in order to make these results happen?
Can we agree on something? Jeff Heffley has gotten the better of Ben Johnson in these two games.
Yeah.
Like, straight up. He has not looked like the Ben Johnson we've seen on so many other occasions as the Bears offense has become the identity of this team, to be honest. So knowing that, I'm just so curious to see what adjustments Ben Johnson's making on his end to be like, you might have fooled me twice, but you're not going to get me a third time. And that brings me really to my key of the game, which is more about the Bears defense and Dennis Allen. B+2 in turnovers. You want to win the game, B+2 in turnover differential.
Which is a pretty good bet for the Bears, to be honest.
Yeah, no, it's not a good bet because they've gotten the bulk of their turnovers against bad teams, teams who are not currently in the playoffs. Mm. So you've got four here, three there against different, but it's not like outside of that Eagles game where they got the +2, they also turned it over once, but they were plus on the road in Philadelphia. That's a big reason why they won that game. We all remember the strip on the tush push by Nashawn Wright. Yeah. I think in this game, I'm not saying they can't win without the +2, but they definitely can't win if they are at a negative in turnover differential. And the +2 makes me feel a lot better about their chances.
Let me give you a disturbing stat for both of you guys in terms of the Bears, hoping that the Bears have a fast start, which is essential. I don't think anybody could deal with like one more time of the Bears depending on magic at the end. The Packers defense has allowed two first quarter touchdowns all season long. So for a career? Yes. So that's
not enough. Touchdowns they've allowed.
That's not enough.
So what you're saying is they're due to give up another one.
And the Bears are always due for a touchdown on their first drive. They're always due for a touchdown.
Remember the beginning of the season?
Hey, wait till we have Fishbane on. He usually keeps track of all that stuff. Like he's got a running. I think he had it. Like the last time the Bears had a touchdown on their first drive is like it's weeks
been
ago.
Weeks yeah.
at least. Yeah. Fishy Business will clear that up for us later.
Fishy Business joins us at 12:25. I like our keys to the game segment. I feel like we all have different keys, so that's robust.
Yeah.
Which is a nice thing. But yeah, for me it's definitely run the ball. run the ball more. And yes, if they could score a touchdown in one of their first two drives, which you're telling me is virtually statistically impossible against the Packers.
It cannot happen and will not
happen.
It's
possible. It's just not likely.
Hey, that's why I say Caleb, run the ball.
Except
do something
virtually.
Different. I want Caleb running on that first series if he has to. You know what I'm saying? Like,
you're getting weird over here.
No. So?
Your ego's writing checks your body can't cash.
You know why he's right, though? Because that first third and four or less,
yeah.
If I see Caleb either dirt it or
overthrow
someone when there was clearly a lane where he could have picked up the 4 yards, I'm going to be like, see, this is why they're not winning the game.
Can I also just, I'm going to request this, but I know it's probably not happening.
Go ahead.
There was a wide receiver screen to DJ Moore last week. That was his only reception in the game, and he was targeted 3 times. Number one, target DJ Moore often. Number two, mix in a screen pass to a running back. Am I crazy?
Hold up. Are you saying target DJ Moore often or target DJ Moore often?
Both.
Both. They're the same.
Yes.
Aren't they both the same?
No, because one is like saying more than you have been. The other one's just saying target that guy a lot.
Yes, both, actually.
Okay.
Both work here.
What Layla said.
Yeah. But also mix in a running back screen pass.
Swiftie can handle that.
Do you have a preferred running back target for said screen pass?
DeAndre Swift.
Yeah,
because he's just so good outside.
Swifty shifty on the outside. But one guy just looking to run into somebody.
Now, here's the other part
really
of this.
He really is, man.
Here's the other part of this, though, is sadly, I think that means the Packers will also be looking for it. And I get that. But they haven't been able to establish their screen game, I think, the way they've wanted. There would be no better time to unveil that as another part of the offense than now.
Right, and the Bears have historically been burned badly by the Packers' screen game, the game which they basically invented back in the Lombardi days. But another key two guys in both of these games, Green Bay was phenomenal on third down. Just, I mean, even in the... Well, no, the first game where the Packers win it 28-21, 8-for-12 on third down. I think there were 6-of-12, and the Bears were pretty good on third down too, at least in one of the games. So even defensively, like they've been really good on third down. So third down, and time of possession needs to tighten up for the Bears specifically against Green Bay.
I can't remember who said it, but I think it was somewhere on the station. Someone informed me that on 3rd and 7 or more, Jordan Love has a passer rating of 110.
Yeah.
Yes. What the hell is that?
Right, and we saw that in San Francisco, too. Like, San Francisco was lights out. I think they're second in the league right now. I'd have to see if that's still refreshed, but I believe last time I checked, they were second in the league on third down, and we saw it. San Francisco was even, I think they're number one, I think.
Side key to the game, not our game, but another game.
Side key. Give it.
Knowing how successful the Bears were running the ball against Philly, you think Christian McCaffrey eats tomorrow? Or are they tomorrow? They're Sunday, I think.
No, they're Sunday, but the answer is no. I don't think he's gonna eat that. He's gonna get used a lot, so his usage will be high. He'll probably get 100 plus total yards. But
you don't think he's getting 120 at the half?
I don't think he's getting 120 at the half. That Eagles team is well rested. They know what this is.
Fair enough.
The defense is the strength of the team.
Angry Birds.
They are.
I thought about that, though.
No, you're right. You're right to think about
it. Side key to another game, but I thought about it.
I think it'll be kind of what we saw when we saw them take on the Seattle Seahawks in that finale. Something along those lines.
That Seahawks defense looks so good.
Looking at other games. How dare you?
I do, too. I'm going to watch a lot of other games. I watched the Miami game last night.
As you should have.
Who went down, Marshall?
The University of Mississippi, a.k.a. the school up north.
I thought it was Ole Miss. Isn't that what they call them, Ole Miss?
Marshall has a different take on this.
Oh, yeah.
So I went to this institution. It's a state school. You might be familiar with state schools.
I am, very much. I love it. I got a lot of Redbird pride.
Mississippi State University. Mm-hmm. So we refer to the school that got beat by Miami as the school up north, because on a map...
It's called Marquette, Wisconsin. You know.
Wow. So does it hurt you when I refer to people as "ol" all the time? When I say that, does that trigger you?
No. Yours is not built on
Ole Miss. It's not Ole Miss. I've never referenced Ole. I hate Ole Miss.
Is there a large?
It looks like Ole Miss, to be honest.
Is Ole Miss? No, I don't really. But for your sake, I hate them.
Do you remember?
I support you, Marshall.
The old mascot for the University of Mississippi.
I don't want to talk about it.
Wait, tell me. Say more.
You don't remember the mascot?
I don't know if I do or not. I just had a birthday today. I'm getting old, man. I can't remember
stuff.
That's
why I thought you would know.
Rebels.
It's an older...
Oh.
KFC looking gentleman?
Not something that is friendly with society.
Yes. That, okay. You know what? That's a great way to put it.
Yes.
That's a great way to put it.
Yes.
All you need to know is when I went to school.
Okay.
And I would go and cover. I covered Eli Manning in college. He would. They would have the rebel flags in mass in the stands.
They don't do any of that stuff anymore.
No, they phased that out.
They finally caught up with the rest of
now
the world.
Now they've codified these things into law now.
Oh, good.
That's a fair way to put it.
Good. Sadly. So enough of this buzzkill mess. There's an issue today on our crew. There's an issue.
Issue.
So like, if I wear anything remotely close to green within like 3 weeks of the Packers game. Layla, you cheer for the Packers. You're not from here. What is this color are you wearing?
Is that what they sound like?
Yes.
That's pretty, I love it.
So love it. Next thing I know, not one but two of our crew members are wearing green today. We're going to get into this and a story that ensued now.
When you think about meal kit companies, what do you see? Probably long, complicated recipes and subscriptions you can't escape. But with the new Blue Apron, we're doing meal delivery differently. No subscription needed. Faster, easier meals. And the same dedication to quality we've always had. Shop 100 plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Next.
What time is it?
It's halftime.
It is Raheemi Harrison Grody on 670 The Score. This is halftime. We spent our first segment just appreciating the playoffs. I don't normally do the whole how big is this game because I feel like it's basic. But this is not basic. This is the playoffs, so it's time for it. Cherish it.
Bears.
Yes, that too. It's Mark Grody's birthday, so you better tell him Bears.
Thank you.
Mason Crosby joined us at 10:25. If you missed it, you can check out the Rewind feature on the Odyssey app. Adam Hogue joined us at 11. We just went over our keys to the game. Nobody's ever done keys to the game, ever.
Nope. That's the first time we've done it. I thought we did it better than most, to be honest.
It's the first time No, because usually there's catchy graphics, and we didn't make any graphics.
Okay.
So there's that. By the way, this is also a Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, and Electric Football Friday presented by Pottawatomie Casino Hotel and ChicagoRoofingContractors.org. Okay, so I walk into our meeting, and what do I see? But Baby T, Tyler Farengold, not only in a green Under Armour hoodie, and it's olive green, let's just call it what it is. I wouldn't say it's Packers green by any means, but your water bottle that matches is pretty close.
I know, I'm ashamed to admit it. It's very close.
And you're our most important meatball at this radio station.
Yeah, Tyler, you are the most meatballish out of this crew.
You and Studs.
Like I told you guys before, I got a Caleb Williams jersey for Christmas, and the first time I'm going to wear it is this weekend. So as long as they keep winning in the playoffs, that sucker is going on every time they play through the rest of the season.
And what is it? Is it a home navy blue and orange?
It's a navy blue home.
All right,
there you go. There you go, my friend.
I got a Caleb Williams jersey.
Dumb orange jersey.
I'm telling you, people go crazy when they see somebody wearing a... First of all, just wearing colors gets people fired up. Just a color. You know, anytime I wear like orange, it's like, oh my God, you're in orange today. Yes, the world has changed. It hasn't. It's just different and it's punchy. And then, you know, I look at Tyler and then who do I see next to me? But Mark Grody wearing green pants.
Yeah, this green, whatever this is.
Olive.
Olive. It's for the record. It is an olive green. So
not Packers green, is that what you're going to say?
I wasn't really thinking. I should have been
thinking. It's not Packers green, Grody.
Thank you, Tyler.
But it's still green.
I got you.
I got you. We got each other.
And it's before the game. Like, it's one thing if maybe it's after the game or something. Then Grody then asked the question, have you heard about the time I accidentally wore green when I was sideline reporting for the Bears against the Packers?
It might have been... I guess for the sake of the story, I'll say it was in 2018, and I can't confirm that, but let's just say it was the...
You better hope it was 2018, because they won one of those
games. And they clinched the division that day, too. Their home game against Green Bay in 2018 was a jubilant day. I was on the sideline. I remember talking to Tariq Cohen on the sideline right after the game, which was awesome. All of that stuff. But for some reason, I wasn't thinking.
Not the first time.
But I was wearing green that day. I think I had a green hat on.
Wait, the hat was green?
Well, it's a God, I can't think of the run. It's a run in Chicago. the
Shamrock Shuffle.
Thank you. Shamrock Shuffle.
I'm here for you, Groats.
Thank you. It's a Shamrock Shuffle hat. It's a very good hat. It's like my best, it's my warmest hat because it fits tight and it's thick and all that stuff. It's not a style hat. You know what I mean?
That's like, definitely what she said.
And I needed the warmth. So I did this and I see Jeff Joniak. And the first thing Jeff Joniak says to me, I mean, again, me not really being conscious of the fact that I'm wearing this green, not really putting that together. He looks at me, Jeff Joniak, and just goes, "You got to be kidding me."
Did you not know what he was referring to when he said that?
I go, he's like, "Look at yourself." It's like, "Look at all that green."
But I hear it in Jeff Joniak play-by-play voice. Oh, he's like, "You got to be kidding me." Like the smoothness, you know, Jeff.
Yeah, yeah. And I don't think he talked to me the rest of that, except for when necessary to throw down to me on the sidelines. And then all these years,
to do that, right?
All these years later, I did say to Jeff recently, a couple weeks ago maybe, I was shooting the bleep with him after a long day at Hallis Hall. And I just said, I reminded him of that story. And I go, "You know what, Jeff? You were right. I should have been a little bit like, we don't have to be homers and all that." I guess I was my head 1 foot in the organization then because of what
you
I was doing.
You were on the broadcast.
I was
sir.
On the broadcast, and but I'm not really, I'm not a team employee, but you know, there's that fine line. I don't think we had to pander to it, but it probably would have been a good move to not wear green that day. Joniak, you were right.
So what percentage of you was covered in green? You said, how big was the coat?
I think mainly, well, the coat is blue. It's, you guys know the coat that I wore today, that big bomber jacket that my mom bought me.
It was just a hat.
Yeah.
Jean
bought me that hat because she did not, or the coat, because she just didn't trust that I would have the proper apparel for the sidelines. I'm like, Ma,
I got
this.
Wait, I thought the coat was green too.
Is
the
it
coat,
blue?
The coat was not green.
It's more,
it was the same coat you had on recently.
Yeah, is that the...
No, that's blue.
That's blue, right. So the hat, though, really stood out.
Oh, so just the hat. That's not that bad.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it was the hat.
I thought it was the coat, too.
But the hat really stands out, you know? Yeah,
I see why Jeff Joniak... And it is the Shamrock Shuffle hat. That green is...
That's green.
Very
green.
Similar to the Packers green.
It is. Like I said, at that point, I felt bad. I was a little stunned by it, but I'm like, he's right. He was right. And he'll be jacked up, too. I'm happy for
217, Jeff. Is it true Mark also accidentally wore a wedding dress as a guest to someone else's wedding?
Oh!
What?
Are the mothers of the bride who wear white to their sons' weddings? Oh, my word, I can't.
Grody, did you get caught up in the Dennis Rodman wearing a dress phase era in the 90s?
Yeah, no, I didn't. Nor
hey, that
nor
was performance
the,
art.
Hey, how about the Ricky Williams, Mike Ditka? Remember when Mike Ditka?
The front page of Sports Illustrated.
That was weird.
Cover.
Yeah. Yep.
630 says, claim your colorblind. It's your only hope. That's fair.
Grody, you are ridiculous, in Joniak voice, says Texter at the top.
Jeff Joniak does not strike me as somebody who's easily angered.
Oh, really?
I don't know. I guess I'm just so used to the smoothness of the radio call. So I think this is hilarious.
That's hilarious. That is funny. No, Jeff is the best, but he can be intense just like the rest of us.
I love
live broadcast, man. There's not a lot of time to be. You can't be nice all the time.
No, and
it's the way it works.
Good for Jeff, because God knows I'm not chill, so I ain't gonna tell anybody else to be.
Right? Amen. We all have our ways.
Before Chicago takes on Green Bay, tune in tomorrow. It is 4 to 6:45 for the pregame show right here on 670 The Score. Olin Kreutz, Patrick Manley, and Mully get you set for the wild card matchup. And then immediately following the game, they will have instant reaction on the TimberTech Decking and Railing postgame show. All of it can be heard on The Score and the Odyssey app. Coming up next, it's time for 5 on It. And I feel like we might be in for another story told. That's next.